Today we are wrapping up our sermon series, where we've been following Jesus through the Sermon on the Mount and into beloved and whole community. We've heard that we are the salt of the earth, called to influence the world with the love of Christ, with our words and actions. We've heard that we're sent to be people of reconciliation, processing our anger healthfully and working to heal relationships. We've heard the difficult yet essential command to love our enemy neighbors, moving from hatred to compassion. We've heard that we are called to forgive, to allow all parties involved true freedom and a path forward together. We've heard the call to ensure that Jesus is the guiding voice in our lives. And we've been reminded that we cannot discern the best way to do life together without real humility. And if you thought all of that was hard to hear, this week, it gets worse. In today's gospel, the finale of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us it's not enough to just agree with all of these hard truths. Instead, he urgently reminds us that those who hear this message are accountable to act on it. Otherwise, community crumbles like sand. And the crux of all of this is realizing that faith is not a noun. Faith is a verb. We don't have faith. We simply faith. Faithing is following Jesus. It's moving through the world behind his leadership, acting on what we learned. It's what we heard in 1 John 4 that describes it as Jesus is, so are we in this world. When Jesus ends a lot of his gospel stories with "go and do likewise," he is explaining how to faith. This is why I think the book of James says that faith without works is dead. Not because our works somehow save us or draw us closer to God, but because faith and works are one in the same. Jesus said that like trees, we are known by our fruit. Notice he didn't say, as I told our young ones, that we're known by our beliefs or our creeds or our religious labels. Our actions define us. And they define the world too. What we do shapes the world around us to either be the kingdom of heaven or hell on earth. And it's all or nothing. We can't do both at the same time. To hear Jesus, then, is to move toward his teachings or to walk away from him with every step, with every choice. And both have consequences for community. Jesus gives a stark illustration of people who have professed belief in his leadership and yet have still not entered the kingdom of heaven. We can't go through the motions over here while ignoring the rest of God's will over there. When we do that, it's not that we're cut off from God, that God's like, "You're no longer my beloved." It's just that when we do that, we are cutting ourselves off from God's good life in that moment. We are missing out on the joy and participation in the kingdom of heaven at that time because we have stepped outside of it. But we aren't the only ones who suffer from that. We aren't the only ones who suffer from choices not to love, not to connect, or repair, or serve, or show grace, or forgive. Not following Jesus causes harm to all involved. Because if we aren't acting on what we hear, we're still showing fruit. And the fruit that we're showing the world will definitely give the wrong impression of Jesus. Our fruit, alongside our claim to Christianity, can do real theological damage. It can lead people away from the good life and hope that Jesus wants for us all. It's why, in my particular call and role here, I meet what feels like an endless line of folks who have been hurt by church. Not necessarily Good Shepherd, but capital C church. Because bad fruit can give people the understanding, the idea that God only cares for some people and is willing to neglect the rest. Bad fruit can give the idea that God is interested in violence or hatred or enemying. 1 John 4 says that if we love God, we also have to love each other. It's not an option. It's a mandate. We cannot love God without loving others. Otherwise, the first one is empty. If our relationship with God is not positively impacting our relationship with everyone around us, then we are teaching a dangerous message about God's love. More so, if we aren't acting on what we hear from Jesus, people who desperately need love and care will miss out on crucial community support. Because the way of the world, generally speaking, is not interested in caring for the poor or the hungry or the alien or the oppressed, the imprisoned, the sick, the lonely, the enemy neighbor, or the unwelcome. But do you know who was? Jesus. And following him demands that we be too. And I want to pause for just a moment here, because I know that this feels like a world-bearing weight amount of pressure. The stakes are so high as we work to build the kingdom of heaven in the face of so many other choices, so many other kingdoms. It is a lot, friends. It's hard. It's crucial to our survival together, but it's really, really hard. And somehow it's coming to us from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know what gospel means, anybody? Good news. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I pause here in my preaching, I paused here in my writing, because in my head I could hear my seminary professor, Tom Ridenour, who was just the gruffest dude you can imagine, and he would always stop us in our sermons and in class and say, "Where's the good news, preacher?" So here it is, Dr. Ridenour. Here it is, church. The good news is that grace never, ever, ever, ever runs out. The good news is that grace is contagious. It's inspiring. There is always room to apologize. There is always room to make reparation. In fact, studies have shown, and I'm not making this up, this is a scientific study, it comes from a parenting expert, but it applies in all ways. Studies have shown that going back and repairing a break in relationship is more powerful than getting it right the first time. Did you hear that? Repairing a break in relationship is more impactful, more powerful than having gotten it right the first time. That is amazing news for those of us who fail spectacularly on any given day. It's a celebration, not of brokenness, but of the hope to know that it is never too late to try to mend and make things better and to spur one another on to do the same. What is the good news? The good news is that the kingdom of heaven is not a fantasy. It is real. It has been started among us already, and we can build it, and we can see it with our own eyes, and sometimes even the smallest actions make a huge difference in that kingdom. Often it's in the mundane that we affect the most positive change. We can't fix the world, but we can certainly work on what's right in front of us, and that is the antidote to hopelessness. One of our members, Jill Thompson, shared with me this quote that is just so powerful to me. She says, and she learned this from the Black community, specifically Black women, looking for agency, saying, "In this space right here, there will be no injustice. In this space right here, there will be no injustice. I have power for that. Or I think of Kate Bowler. Pastor Josh shared her podcast when he preached the podcast Everything Happens, and he talked about this exact episode, Drops Make an Ocean. She said, the world is so big and it's so overwhelming and we get compassion fatigue. We weren't meant to be able to take in all that information. And so we glean what we need to, we learn what we need to, and then we draw it in real small and we look at our community and we say, what can I do right in front of me? I can do something here. It's the antidote to hopelessness. What did Jesus do after the Sermon on the Mount? He climbed back down the mount and he went and he touched a leper. And he went and he healed the servant of somebody in his community that would have been considered an enemy. And he rescued a Gentile, an outsider, from demon possession. That's just in chapter 8. And I know that feels huge and like way outside of anything we could possibly do, but if you take the miracles themselves out, what did Jesus do? He drew near to and showed compassion for the others in his community. The good news is that we are absolutely equipped to do that. We are capable of those things. Speaking God's word, showing deeds of power are fine, but they're not nearly as impactful as the day-to-day interactions that we have. What's the good news? The good news is that the more we practice faithing, the easier it can get. When we follow Jesus in the seemingly mundane daily choices, we're building up habits. When we follow Jesus in the smaller ways that are easily ignored, we build up our stores of patience and courage and determination. When we follow Jesus in our work, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, we are building a rock-solid foundation. When our faith is built on following Jesus as often as humanly possible, then when the less frequent but bigger, more difficult, and riskier decisions come at us, we will find ourselves with a sort of muscle memory that helps us move toward Jesus instead of the more comfortable, more secure, more popular route, because we will be starting from solid grounds. And if our faith is built on good intentions or faithful thoughts, or thinking that Jesus' teachings only apply in a vacuum, then when the big and challenging stuff comes up, we will find ourselves on sinking sand with no footing. The good news is that each day is a new day to practice, to build up those faith muscles wherever they are in our bodies, so that we have houses built on rock when the storms come. What is the good news? The best news is that God will never, ever act outside of Jesus' teachings with us. Never. God constantly and consistently forgives and loves, will not cut us off, will not give up on us, will not call us the enemy. God knows that the way of Jesus is hard. God watched him die on the cross because of it. And God also knows that it's the best chance we have for real life together, and God will never stop wanting what's best for us. So we are loved, we are held tight in community with God, even as we are called to go to love and continue to build that community together. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount has ended, and when sermons end, God's people say, amen, amen, and let us get to work. Would you pray with me? God, we have heard your words, and now it is time to act. And it's very easy to say these things in this place and then to go and drown in a world that doesn't necessarily care about your Sermon on the Mount. So would you give us strength and courage to hear and act, to build our lives on you for the sake of all. In Jesus' name, amen.